Hello, this is Lainey from a different time in a different place and on a different microphone. This is actually episode 10 of Women Writing Men. Since this one's special, we wanted to make it episode 10, though we technically recorded it before episode 9.
Hi.
Hi.
We've got a special episode because Mariah and I have been having trouble getting books read. Okay, I'm having trouble getting books read.
The difference is that you take really diligent notes and I'm like, I'm gonna just power through. So I'm like reading a book in a day.
Yeah. And then the other thing is she keeps picking books that aren't quite fitting our like
theme.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they will, and then they don't.
Yeah.
And so we're doing a special episode where we talk about some of the books that I read for no reason.
And so, like, initially she read, like, one of them and we were just like, oh, I guess that didn't work out. But then she read another one that was all erotica.
Yes.
Like, so much erotica that we were like, there's not quite enough romance to talk about. And she left me, like, this voice message on my phone. And she was, like, crying, laughing, telling me about what is happening in this book. And I was, like, laughing alone in my bedroom as I listened to it at 11 p.m. And I was like, we have to do this as an episode. It's so fun.
Yeah.
So, one book has no, like, no one really gets together.
No. Well, some people do, but...
It's not like...
It's not romantic. It's just, like, on the side, people are getting together.
Yeah. It was... Yeah. And then the other one is just, like,
pure sex for 275 pages. I should have counted how many pages were just sex. Because it was so many.
Which, like, we have no issue with that. It's just, like, I feel like we wouldn't be able to, like, talk about it as much. Because it would be, like, and then the penis went in her.
I know. Some of my notes are so funny because I'm like, do I just quote the words they said? Or do I, like, make this... I don't know.
Like, what can I add to
Do I make this scientific or do I make this erotic? So we'll see how this goes. And basically, I'm going to get to talk about some books I've been reading and Lainey's going to find out about it and ask questions and you guys are going to find out about it too.
Yeah. So what was the name you had for this one?
I called it Mariah Misses the Mark.
Okay. I was like, Mariah's Misadventures, Mariah's Mistakes.
So many alliterations.
I know. So yeah, this special episode, Mariah Misses the Mark. I like that one. Yeah, so what are the two books we're doing, Mariah?
So our first book is All We Ever Wanted by Emily Giffen. I wrote Griffin on here, but it's Giffen. and the second book is Linger by Lauren Jameson. So the only thing I did do right was that it is women in the stories. And there are men characters in the books.
Which, admittedly, when we go and look for a book, that's kind of our... it's kind of, like, our baseline, like, what we're looking for.
All right. So, All We Ever Wanted...
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Are we gonna add these men?
To the thing?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Okay. They don't count?
No.
And they weren't good enough that you...
No, like definitely it. Not. I mean, this guy was basically just a hot body. Okay. So I started, I'm just going to do in the order that I read the books and we'll finish off with some erotica. So I read All We Ever Wanted first. Basically, the plot of the story is something happens between a boy and a girl at their high school. And the main characters are their parents. So the main character is Scarlett and her son is...
Yeah, you don't have me to tell you characters' names. You have to remember
I wrote
now.
Them all down. Finch. The son's name is Finch, and his mom is Scarlett. His mom is the main character. And then there's Lila, and her dad is the other main character, and his name is Tom. It's really bad that I can't remember these things. Okay, so we've got Scarlett and Tom. And when I read the little excerpt about it, it was like... hinting that there would be something between them. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, we've got a story that's not just romance, but we've got something else. So basically, at the very beginning of the book, Finch sends a picture of Lila with her boob out.
Just the one boob?
Yeah.
All right. I thought they were fun. Because, like, Mariah briefly described this one to me because she was like, oh, I read this book. I thought they were much steamier pictures.
No, it was just, like, she was in a dress, one of her, like, I guess probably a halter dress. Like, why would her boob be out otherwise? And her one boob was out. She was passed out. And then the caption was something about, like, look who got her green card. Because she's, like, half Latina. Her mom was, like, from South America, so she's a little bit, like...
Hispanic,
yeah,
Latin.
But barely, like, almost not noticeable, is how they described it. And so that's what happens at the beginning of the book. And it blows up, and it's seen by everybody, and now Scarlett and Tom have to figure out what to do with their children. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't have, like, chapter by chapter, so
that's
we'll
fine.
Just keep
you
going.
Can just, yeah.
So, Scarlett is married to Kirk, and they basically, like, talk to Finch, and they're like, do better, son.
Please don't do this thing.
Except for Kirk's like, do better, son, but also, let's do whatever we can to get you out of this mess. And Scarlett's like, do we do that? Should we do that?
So she's having, like, a little bit of, like, moral.
Moral, yeah. She's like, this is wrong. He needs to know that this was wrong and do better. And then we hear from Tom, who's like, this is the worst thing that's ever happened in my whole entire life. I need to do something about this. And Lila's like, Dad, don't do anything about it. So he does something about it.
So why does Lila not want him to do anything about it?
Because she's in love with Finch.
He's got so many desirable traits. I can see why.
She, like, has this huge crush on him. He's a senior. She's, like, in grade 10, I guess. Mm. She has this huge crush on him. And, like, she's not actually bothered by the photo. Like, the morning after, she comments to herself, damn, I looked good in that picture. But her dad does not, like, she doesn't tell this to her dad, so he freaks out, goes to school, causes a big scene, and she's, like, now very upset about this. And so, throughout the book, I kind of was just like, what would you do if you were Finch's mom, or you were, I mean, we're both females, Lila's mom or dad? Mm-hmm. Tom is single, so there is no mom in the picture, but what would you do?
Yeah. I don't know. Did you figure out what you would do?
I fully agreed with Scarlett. That she's like, you need to kind of pay for your actions. I remember in real life, there was a story of a guy who actually, like, raped a girl, and his parents forced him to turn himself in. And I was like, that's amazing. Like, yes, this is what we need.
Yeah, that's some parenting. Like, that's making hard parenting choices.
Yes. So...
yeah, it's hard because I feel like he should understand that what he did was wrong, but I also feel like maybe don't, like, socially shame him, you know, like, amongst, like...
of his peers.
Like, I understand to discourage the peers, but also, like, I don't know, I just feel like doing, like, this weird social shaming is very, like, super damaging.
Yeah.
Whereas being like, listen, you did something wrong, it doesn't make you a horrible person, you just need to, I don't know, do better.
Yeah.
But... yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I would go about that, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they basically grounded him.
Yeah.
And then told him, I don't even know if they told him he had to tell the principal, but then once the principal found out because of Tom, the mom was like, well, this is fine. Like, more punishment. It's fine.
Yeah.
So what else? What are some other things? So
there's stuff going on between Tom and Scarlett, though, right?
Yeah, so that's, like, so basically, Kirk, that's Scarlett's husband, is like, we need to get a whole handle on this. Once the principal knows, once Tom's gotten the school involved, Kirk's like, I know what we should do. We should invite him to our house and bribe him.
Kirk knows.
And they're, like, super mega rich. Like, insanely rich, and Tom is poor. And they go to this private school, but his daughter got a scholarship, so they feel, like, very... it's like Gossip Girl. They're, like, the poor kids that are... she's the poor kid who's just trying to fit in.
Yeah.
And Finch is the popular rich kid. And Dad's like, let's bribe him. So Tom comes, and Kirk gives him $15,000 to keep quiet.
Whoa. admittedly, like,
that's a lot of money for a poor person.
Yeah.
Tom was not impressed. And Scarlett was not impressed because she was like, no. Like, paying for actions does not equal bribery.
Does not equal paying.
So she secretly messages Tom and they meet up and start to form this, like, bondy relationship where they talk about their kids and their lives. And I was like, okay, so maybe this is the romance. Like, because they really, like, at first he didn't like her because he was like, oh.
You're like, the mother of the kid that hurt my child.
And he has this big, like, oh, he has a hatred for rich people.
Yeah.
And we find this later that, like, a girl had sex with him that was just using him for his, like, poorness because she was rich and he's got...
That's so weird.
And so now he has this, like, vendetta against rich people that they just don't care about anybody. But then he gets to know her and he's like, she's not like the other rich people. I'm like, dude, there are more. Like, not all rich people suck. And they just start to form this, like, connection. And they have a thing where the four of them meet up. So Scarlett, Finch, Lila, and Tom meet up to have this
weird double date.
Double date where she's like, you need to apologize to Lila.
It's not a
this
date.
Like, apology tea, because I think they serve them coffee, I don't know. And it's so weird because at this point is when Finch asks Lila on a date.
What?
And I was like, uh-oh. I'm like, why are you asking her on a date? And then he tells her, by the way, it wasn't me who took the pictures of you. It was my ex-girlfriend who, like, was jealous of you. And so now I'm like, did he do it? Or is he creating this very elaborate story to get him out of trouble?
Yeah. Is he that smart?
Is he that smart? He's going to Harvard.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So he's pretty clever. He could be.
He could be a pretty big mastermind. He's going to Harvard, like, got in. Also another reason why the dad's doing the bribery, because they're very worried that he's going to get kicked out of Harvard if this goes out into the world.
Yeah.
So now Lila's like, oh, Finch likes me. That's why, like, all this is happening. So messy. So messy. And then what's the next thing? They sneak out. They go to a concert together. And then they have sex. That's the biggest romance we get in the whole show. They go to Finch's house, Lila and Finch. They watch Mean Girls, and then he just pauses the TV, and he's like, oh, these girls suck. And then they have sex.
Wow.
Yeah. So then I was like, uh-oh. Because now she's like...
Fully into him.
And I was like, oh, I just don't know. Like, is this even more of his mastermind plot? Like... and in the meantime, Scarlett and Tom are still, like, chatting on the phone and, like, getting closer. Like, are you guys gonna do anything? Like, and Scarlett's getting more and more pissed off at her husband. Like, you are not raising our son well. And she's starting to, like, open her eyes to her husband's bad behavior over their entire marriage and going, he's kind of awful.
And maybe that's why my son is
That's why my son's kind of awful. And then Tom is an Uber driver. I'm like, this is the fun part of me doing this. It's like, here's another bit you need to know. And so these ladies who know Scarlett get in the car and talk about how Kirk is cheating on her.
Wait. Tom is an Uber driver.
Yes.
And he hears these random ladies?
Yes.
Or someone who's actively cheating with Kirk?
No, just random ladies.
Just talking about... Okay.
So he's like, oh, do I tell her? Or is that inappropriate? Because we have a pretty weird relationship so far.
Yeah, that is pretty weird.
Yeah. So then Scarlett, like, goes to her old hometown and talks about her life. with her best friend and decides she's going to divorce her husband, and then talks about how when she was young, and this is so interesting, like, maybe this is the kind of part that's about relationships, not so much about romance, but when she was in university, she had this long-term high school boyfriend, and she broke up with him because she was raped.
Whoa.
Yeah. And thought, like, now she was dirty and he wouldn't love her, and so she just broke up with him, never told anybody, just, like, moved on with her life, but clearly didn't move on. And, like, very soon after that, met her now husband, and she talks about, like, and even her mom was like, I didn't know about him, but it was clear that you needed him. And what she got from him was this control, this rich guy who was going to just protect her because he had all this money to protect her and keep her safe. Mm-hmm. And that's what she wanted
at that moment.
And she said, like, when those things were what I thought was so attractive about him, and now I think they're the awfulest part of him.
Yeah.
So she decides to divorce him and, like, says, I need to do this for my son because he's a jackass and he needs to know that my son needs to know
that I know that my husband is a jackass.
Yes.
I feel like it might be a little late if he's 18 and he's going to go to Harvard. Yeah. Like,
ooh, rough.
Yeah.
So she goes home and more has happened. So someone spray painted slut on Lila's house.
Wow.
So now Finch and Lila are accusing his ex-girlfriend because she's jealous about them now, like, being a thing.
Do we see anything from the ex-girlfriend?
Yeah, I forgot about that part.
She's been pretty sketchy.
She catches them at his house. Mm-mm. Like, not having sex or anything. She just goes, like, into his house while he's home, like, randomly, and is like, Finch, Finch! And then they're like, oh, that's Lila. And then Finch, like, says, well, I'm with Lila now. His ex-girlfriend's name is Polly, okay. Not Lila.
Yeah.
And then Polly freaks out and, like, leaves. And then the night, slut ends up on her garage. Mm. So Finch and Lila are like, it's Polly. And Lila is 100% believing the ex-girlfriend, Polly, did everything.
Yeah.
And Finch is like, it was Polly. And so they have this big meeting with Tom and Scarlett and the kids and Polly and her parents. And it's just like this, he said, she said, who did this? Mm-hmm. And Tom has a big old rampage about the elite rich people. And he storms out and he's like, Lila's never coming back to this school.
Wow. Nifty.
And Lila's very upset. She's like, why do you have to cause scenes all the time, Dad?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, okay, so basically, now we find out what really happens, which was Finch was the mastermind all along with his dad. His dad concocted this plan with him.
Oh my God.
To get him out of trouble. Because Polly reveals to Lila that Finch has taken many pictures with many girls and, like, shares it with his friends.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. And what was so interesting was Lila finds this out and she's like, who should I tell? I know. Finch's mom.
That's, like, her first thought.
She calls Finch's mom and is like,
your son is way worse than you think he is.
She basically, like, and Polly's really depressed, so she's like, I'm worried about Polly. And then the mom comes over and she's like, Polly told me about all these pictures. And also, like, Finch had taken more pictures with Lila that he hadn't sent. And So Polly sent those. And so Lila's like, Polly's not lying. Finch is lying. Finch is a lying liar.
Wait, why did she have the pictures
she
of
She took
Lila?
His phone.
Oh, okay.
And sent them all to herself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But she wasn't willing to tell anybody. And basically, the story ends.
That's it?
Like, he goes to the principal. They do this honor board where it's like 8 students, 8 teachers, and they're going to decide his fate. Lila shows them the picture of, it's a picture of his penis on her face.
Wow. She didn't notice that? Or was that
she
when
was passed out?
Okay. I thought it was like when they had just had sex recently.
No, no, no.
Like, you didn't notice him, like, snapping a pic?
No, the passed out time. Okay. So she shows that and they're like, well, we have no proof that's his penis.
So they make him take out his dick?
No, they just say, inconclusive. Wow. And he goes off scot Scott or Scotch Free? What is it?
I don't
Scott Free?
Scott Free? I thought it was that, but yeah. Yeah.
So he's like, all good. His mom leaves and she's like, I'm doing this for you. And then they do 10 years in the future and it's like, okay, there was no romance. But Tom and Scarlett created a foundation to help poor women. And Lila suggests that they might be in a relationship.
Wow. What a weird ending.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Finch shows up and, like, apologizes. It's, like, 10 years in the future, and he's chubby now. And
apologizes to Lila.
To Lila.
Wow. Weird.
Yeah.
What a weird way for that to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did write down. So I wrote down. There's my plot twist. Finch was a mastermind. Why I missed the mark. So there were things throughout the book that it was like, here's hinting at romance. One, Tom imagines what it would be like to kiss
Scarlett.
Wait a second. Her name's not Scarlett. That's the other book.
Oh my God, Mariah. You had notes sitting in front of you. Like, what are you doing?
It's so bad. Her name was Nina. Like, oh, my Nina? Oh.
Mariah misses the mark.
Mariah misses the mark countless times. Okay, he imagines kissing her. He gets strange looks on his face when he thinks of her. That's what his therapist said.
Wow.
His therapist tells him, you like her. And he's like, no, I don't. They flirt when they talk on the phone. They always leave their, like, true feelings unsaid. Nina, Scarlett, recognizes they are forming an unlikely connection. Nina really wants to, like, be friends with his daughter. Like, so, she wants to be, like, in their lives. And then Lila wonders if they're an item.
A thing, yeah.
So, like, they just dropped these little things, and I was like, okay, maybe it's coming. Maybe it's coming. Maybe it's coming. And nothing ever came.
No, it was just kind of like a family drama.
It was a family drama.
All right, well, this is gonna... I can't believe you messed up these names.
I got everyone else's name right.
But now, you're gonna talk about the other one. It's still gonna be Scarlett.
I call her something else.
Call her Nina. I don't know what to do. I'm lost. Yes, we'll just keep calling her Scarlett. And okay. She'll just be on a really wild adventure.
Next up, Linger by Lauren Jameson. Okay, so I'm going to first, like, I want to tell you guys what this experience, why this book ended up in my hands. Because I think that's also a good story. So I went to the library and was like, I'm just going to look for books, basically, that are like, you know, you can tell just by looking at the spine of the book.
What is this thing she says when she strokes the spine of a book?
Like, you can kind of tell if it's going to have some romance in it just by looking at the spine. So I was looking around, pulling books off, and I wanted a short book because I had to read it quick. So I was like, oh, this one's called Linger. It's got a little girl looking, like, seductive on it. So I'm going to give it a read. I read the what are these called?
The blurb at the back?
The blurb at the back.
Do you speak English?
I'm helping you participate.
It's like a vocab lesson.
And I read it as, like, the main characters, Scarlett and Logan, have a one-night stand, but nothing can happen because Scarlett's moving to Montana. And... can't see him anymore. And then, shocker, he is her... She's going to do this internship, and he is her boss.
Yeah.
And so now it's like, ooh, what's going to happen? They shouldn't do anything because that's not, like, professional. But they have this connection that they have to try to fight. Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's totally romance. Here we go. We're good.
Yeah.
And then... I started walking home, and I was like, hey, the shortest one was this one, so I'm going to start this one. And I reread the back and realized it wasn't a one-night stand. It was that they had gone to this sex club and that she's a dominatrix and he's a submissive. And that is how they end up. But then the whole rest, like, still got the internship, still got the one-year But it's a dominatrix submissive relationship. And I was like, this is going to be sex. This is going to be all sex. And so I messaged Lainey and I was like, it's going to be sex. I'm pretty sure. And I was like, I'll just start it and see what happens.
Yeah, maybe there's like really, because I was like, is there plot?
Yes.
As well, which like.
Like 50 Shades of Grey, I've read it.
Oh, you have?
I have.
I was like.
Has more plot than this.
Wow.
But there.
That's a weird, this is a weird way to gauge things, but.
Like things happen there in 50 Shades of Grey. Mm-hmm. Not really a lot of things that make sense, mm-hmm. but things are happening.
Yeah.
And so we were like, maybe something will happen. And I said, I'll read a little bit and I'll let you know.
Yeah.
And when we get to the part where I let her know, we'll take a pause and we'll talk about what I had read.
Yeah. Okay, sweet.
Okay. So in our first chapter, we meet Scarlett, who is a dominant and she's going to a sex club in Las Vegas. This is where she lives. As she's waiting in line, she bumps into Logan, who is an alpha male, she knows just by looking at him. And there is immediate chemistry. They, like, touch and he, like, doesn't... he, like, she falls and he holds her so she doesn't fall to the floor. And then she's like, I wonder if he's a submissive. Because dominance and dominance don't do stuff together, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. So they both go into the club and they can't stop thinking about each other.
Ooh,
they just want to do their little sex acts. They call them scenes.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm going to describe Logan because basically all that matters about him is his appearance. Go.
Have you read other books that were like this much sex?
Well, the other closest would be 50 Shades of Grey.
Okay.
50 Shades of Grey has parts where he ties her up for sure, because they have the red room, which is like
yes.
whips and...
I've never read 50 Shades of Grey. I just know of it. And
yeah.
Have you watched the movie?
Yes.
Wow.
I think I've watched... How many were there? I've watched more than one.
There's a couple. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting because technically 50 Shades of Grey is a dominant-submissive relationship. Mm-hmm. It's just that he's dominant and she's submissive. Kind of, though. Basically, she's not, because she's not very good at it.
Well, okay, so what I know of 50 Shades of Grey is that they really do BDSM very poorly, I think, because there's a lot of not negotiating boundaries and things like that. So I'm wondering if this one's better. But...
Okay, yeah, they definitely, they talk about those things, and I wrote some of that stuff down,
okay,
so
cool.
You'll hear about it.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Sorry, go ahead.
So Logan, his appearance... She felt his chest when he had grabbed her.
Yeah.
He is a wall of muscles.
Perf.
This isn't his appearance, but he has a southern drawl, so we know he's somewhere from the south.
Is Montana the
south? I don't know. He's from Montana. Is that the south?
Raya just, like, perks up, turns around, because there's a world map. But it's like, how...
But the states are on there. If we got up, we could see it.
Montana's not that far south, I didn't think.
Well, he is a southern drawl. Maybe he was from somewhere else.
But I've been to Washington and heard people with southern. American drawls, so... I don't know.
He's wearing jeans, a cowboy hat, and cowboy boots. And I was like, wow. He's like, really, really southern. Like...
Yeah. He's really wearing it.
He has blue eyes. Piercing blue eyes. He's 6'2" to 6'4". They describe his height multiple times. And multiple times it's different.
What? Seriously?
Well, in the beginning they say he's 8 inches taller than me. And so I was like, okay. And I did the counting and I was like, 6'2".
I love that you mathed it. I love that they said he's 8 inches taller than me. Like, they were like, yeah, 8 inches.
And then later they call him 6'4". And I was like, that's 10 inches taller than her. They don't know how tall he is. He has a tight ass.
Maybe he's like taller in cowboy boots.
Maybe. That
but
could
they
be.
Describe him short. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
with it that makes her want to sink her teeth into it. That's how tight it is.
Perfect.
He's in his mid-30s. Later on, we find out that he's 34, I think, exactly. And she's 24. Or maybe, so maybe he's 36. She is 24.
Does she describe it as he's 12 years older than me?
Maybe. She consistently talks about him as an old man. And he is gorgeous.
Wow.
So we actually never find out the color of his hair. She has brunette hair. So that's who we get to fall in love with. Mm-hmm. Will we? We'll see.
Kate, I feel like when you name a character Scarlet, you almost have to give her red hair. So I'm surprised that they didn't give her red hair.
They just call her very small, but I was surprised too because she 6'2" minus 8 inches is like 5'6". And I was like, that's not small.
Exceedingly small.
They talk about her as this tiny little brunette thing.
I feel like 5'4" would be tiny.
Yeah.
Like, I'm 5'7", and I feel like I'm tall for
yes,
a woman.
Yes, exactly. I'm like, one inch shorter is not a lot.
Yeah.
Whatever. This is just for erotica.
I guess she's like tiny compared to him.
Okay. So, chapter 2, she's like looking for him all around the room. Where is Logan? But she doesn't know his name yet. Where is that guy with the cowboy hat? And she wants to find him, but they consistently talk about how in a submissive dominant relationship, the submissive gets to choose. The dominance can like approach you, and the submissive can always just be like, nope,
not feeling it.
Not feeling it. So she finds him.
How do they identify who's who?
They wear yellow handcuffs if you're submissive. Like, not, I guess not like fully. Maybe it's fully. They didn't describe if it's like completely you walk in and they handcuff you and then you know. Or if you just wear like a yellow chain on your arm. But that's how you know.
Okay.
So she's like, sees him and she's like, yes, yellow handcuffs. I'm going for it. And she walks up to him and she's like, how am I going to start this? Because you need to like have a repertoire, whatever. And apparently another thing that helps you identify it is that you're not allowed to wear shoes if you're a submissive in the club, which is disgusting. Like all the dominants are wearing shoes and then you have to walk around barefoot. Ugh.
Yeah.
So she walks over to him and she's like, take off your shoes, submissive. And then he's like, no, I'm not gonna do that.
Because it's disgusting.
Maybe. But he's like a weird submissive. They describe him as an alpha male, so he's kind of like the girl from 50 Shades of Grey. He always resists. He never just does what he's told. So she pins him to the ground.
How? She's not strong enough for that.
They talk about that to become a dominant at this club, you have to do training with another dominant.
Jiu-jitsu training.
Basically, I guess. Like, like she does something where she like puts her knee in his crotch and then like basically is like, if you don't get down, I'm gonna,
okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get you.
So he goes to the ground and waits there. She just walks away and she's like, let's see if he stays there. And if he stays there, he must want me. So she leaves and he just stays kneeling on the ground looking at her. I'm like, this is so weird. And so she's like, oh, he's still waiting. But in the meantime, another dominant is like, I want that guy. So now there's a battle. Who's gonna get him? And she basically says, pick me, show up in this room, because there's like rooms at the club to have sex in, in 5 minutes. And then the other lady, who also might be a man, like Logan describes her as a man woman, like he wasn't sure what it was.
Alrighty.
Says something similar. And so it's like, now we're into chapter 3. I'm like, who will he pick? Surprise, surprise. He picks Scarlet.
So wait, does it flip between their perspectives?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't remember. It's not based on chapters, though. It's just sometimes in a chapter it's him and sometimes it's her.
Okay.
So he goes to their room, and in each room there is a computer, so you can find out about the submissive. So like she looked him up and found out his safe word, and it also gives you a list of all the things they will not do sexually.
Wow. What a weird club this is. I don't know, like, maybe these exist out there, but like,
I was actually like meaning to look it up. Because I was like, is this real?
It seems so weird, like, I feel like you would just ask someone. But I guess the author was like, I don't feel like having them have this whole conversation.
Apparently, she talks about how this is a new feature at the club.
Okay. I mean, like, it's not a bad idea. It's just a little weird.
Because when he arrives, they do talk about it. And she's like, so your safe word's bunker. And he was like, how do you know that? And she was like, a good dominant needs to know everything about their submissive.
It's still, like, I feel like that would be really personal. And you'd be like, why do you know that? Like, because then he doesn't know who put that information in, obviously.
That's true. Like, who did he tell?
Like, so someone else filled it out for him? Because I feel like that's not good.
That's true. I didn't think about that. But yeah. Anyway. It happened. So, basically, like, in chapter 3, it was just, like, this prep leading up to sex. She makes him strip. But he disobeys constantly. He's like, I don't wanna. And then she's like, do it. And then he will, like, after a couple of attempts.
Okay.
And she seems to like the challenge. She talks about this other submissive that she's been with before, whose name is Brendan, who just does exactly what she says. And she's like,
so boring.
So boring. She's like, I need to feel like I do have power. Where if someone just listens to what you say, do you have power? I guess that's her thought. But, and I wrote here, remember, she's forcing him to do all this stuff, but throughout almost all of their sexual escapades, she will say, what light are you at? Green, yellow, or red? Mm-hmm. Green means go, yellow means
slow down, I would assume.
And red means I'm done.
Yeah.
So, like, the whole time, he has opportunity
to nope out back out. To, yeah.
And he likes to say no, but he actually wants to do it. So then, we're still in the same scene, chapter 4, he starts to get really mean, like, hoping that she's gonna whip him and, like, beat him. And he also, like, begs her to, like, let him sleep with him all the time, and she just keeps going, no, ha-ha, and, like, making him just be naked. I can't remember exactly what was happening, like, she might have given him a hand job at this point. And he really dislikes any time where she's pleasuring him and he's just not.
And he's just sitting there?
Yeah.
Okay.
She puts a cock ring on him.
I'm going to have to mark this one like big not safe for work.
Ties him up and leaves the room. This is so weird, I said. I read this part. And so she brings back another male sub, the one I just talked about, Brendan, and makes Logan watch. She pours, like, red wine on her thighs and, like, it's like, Brendan, drink it. So he just drinks the wine, licks it up, and Logan gets super pissed off because he's like, I want to do that. And she's like, if you would be good, then you can. Then it gets really weird. So Brendan leaves, or maybe he's still there. I think he leaves. Mm-hmm. And she fingers Logan's butt.
The way you describe it is so hot.
To get him to submit to her. Mm-hmm. And he's like begging her not to the whole time. But then she'll say, what light are you at? And then he'll be like green. And then he'll be like, but don't do it. Yeah. So that happened. Mm-hmm. She unties him, and then they actually have sex. We're already 50 pages into the book, and I'm like, this is all that's happened.
They've been busy.
And he's basically infatuated with her, and he's like, tell me your name, because they don't do names. Mm. So she's been calling herself Mistress S.
Her name is Scarlet. Like, that sounds like a fake name.
And she's like, we're never gonna see each other again, so bye. And Logan comments to himself, oh, she's made me feel things that I've never felt since before the army. And so I was like, is this the plot? Is this the plot? Something about army, here we go. And so they leave the room. They're both still at the club. I'm like, what are you gonna do now? Like, just hang out? This is a weird place.
Just do some dancing on the dirty dance floor.
And he finds her and just basically grabs her and starts making out with her at the club. And that's not allowed because he's a submissive. You can't just, like, take control. Mm-hmm. So she pulls down his pants in front of everybody and spanks him with a paddle that she has in her purse.
She was ready, though.
She's prepared.
She's always ready.
And I was like, wow, okay. And again, throughout that whole spanking, she was like, what color are you at? And he was always a green. Mm-hmm. She also recognizes or acknowledges that he basically will do anything. That mm-hmm. it's something about, like, in him that he's like, even though I hate it, giving up would be like...
Yeah, like the worst thing or whatever.
Saying no would be worse. So I'll do whatever you force me to do. Yeah. Okay, so now we're done with the big sex act. She leaves. And we're into chapter 6 where she talks about how she's moving to Montana. She's going to do an internship. She wants to learn how to care for large animals. She's a veterinarian.
Okay.
But in vet school, I guess they focus on like cats and dogs and pets. And she's like, I want to learn how to take care of cows and horses. Which I guess you can't get that experience in Las Vegas. So she's going to go for a year, learn about it, and come back and open up an animal hospital.
If there's no cows and horses in Vegas, why do you need that experience?
I'm not really sure. I thought about that. I'm like, why would you, like, who's going to come to your lunch?
What horses are you going to have at your thing? Anyways.
And she also has this, like, connection to children. I think she was in the foster care system when she was growing up. So she wants to, like, also have kids volunteer at her hospital.
Okay.
And give them a safe place. So I was like, okay, maybe here's more of the plot. and there's this, her best friend took in this girl, so she has this connection to her, and she's like, don't worry, I'll be back in a year, and I'm gonna open my hospital, and you won't even notice I'm gone. And she also talks about this guy she's gonna go intern for, and they're like, she knows his name, which is Dr. Logan. And I was like, interesting. Not necessarily that she wouldn't connect dots, because why would you? But I would be like, hey, that guy has the same name as the guy from yesterday. Like, I would have at least commented on
it. Like, one thought, like, just a stray thought, like, that's the same name as yesterday.
What a coincidence.
Yeah, what a weird thing.
Yeah. But she literally didn't even acknowledge that, and I was like, that's weird, lady. Like, because she also talks about how that was such a good night, and she's upset that she's never gonna
see the guy again.
Yeah. So she arrives in Montana, and basically, there he is. He's the boss.
Shocking.
And I was like, oh, okay, where are they going to go with this? How, like, are they still going to do that? Will they, won't they try to resist each other? Because it feels weird to, like, have a dom-sub relationship while he's her boss. Mm-hmm. They basically go up to her room, and she says, are we going to address the situation? And then she stands super sexily, I guess, because then he gets turned on. And then she says, on your knees. And then he just gets on his knees.
I feel like this was this when you were
messaging? This is when I messaged you. This was the, like, I read up to here, and this was, like, almost 100 pages in already. And I was like, what?
Yeah, so, you messaged me, and you're like, I thought they were gonna have more, like, maybe they won't. Like, oh, I shouldn't do this. And she, like this voice message, you're like she was like, should I try to date my boss? And then they just did it. They didn't even care.
They just did it.
Yeah.
And so and then you said, is there a plot? And I was like, well, they both have some backstory. Like, maybe the plot's gonna be more important. So I kept going. Continued on. She basically, right at this point, says, I don't want this to be casual. I want a partner. And I was like, wow.
Wow. We're really getting, like...
like, okay.
We're getting into, like, it.
Like, you don't know each other, but great.
Yeah.
Partnership. But she doesn't tell him, but she decides herself that she will not have sex with him. Like, vaginal sex, because they do a lot of other stuff. Until he, like, fully submits to her. So now, there's the will they, won't they.
Yeah.
Will they have vaginal sex? Or will they just keep having the other sex? I don't really, chapter 8, like, a lot of these chapters, not a lot happens except for, like, flirtation and, mm-hmm. like, cock grabbing.
All right.
And so in chapter 8, she admits to herself, I have feelings for him. But she recognizes that he's very recluse and is hiding things.
Standoffish. Yeah.
So she's like, I know, I'll use sex and domination to get him to open up to me.
What a clever scheme.
So they basically come up with the agreement that during work hours, he's in charge, she does what he says, and as soon as work is off, she takes the lead and he has to do what she says. But she keeps, like, challenging him and trying to refuse to do the work. And I was like, I don't... And she talks about how hard it is to, like, let him be in charge. And I was like, lady, have you never had a job before? You, everyone who isn't the person in charge has to do what their boss says. This isn't hard. It's not rocket science. He's like, go shovel the horse's stable. And she's like, you go. Why are you asking me to do anything? Because he's your boss, lady. And then they find out that their mutual friend, Luca, who is a dominant at the club, he's introduced them both to the club, orchestrated the whole thing. Logan never wanted an internship.
The mastermind was rich the whole time.
Logan didn't want an intern. Luca basically was like, this girl really needs it. Do this for me. And Logan was like, okay. And so that's how they ended up doing this thing. Mm-hmm. And then he takes her to town to show her town, and he has this huge panic attack. And I was like, okay, more of the subplot.
Yeah, the subplot is the plot, and, like, the main plot is just, will they be dominant and have vaginal sex?
And it's when, like, people walk out of this movie theater all at once or something, and he, like, freaks out. And while they're in town, she's already starting to think, like, oh, should I open a hospital in Montana instead of Las Vegas? And, again, this has been, like, a day. I think that this happened, like, this was the second day she arrived, and she's like, I have feelings for him. Maybe I should do the hospital here instead. I'm like, lady, what the heck? And I was like, what about the little girl? You promised you'd be back in a year. This is the subplot, and you're taking it away. And this part, she talks about how pleasure is the gateway to emotion, and you need to beat someone into, like, so much pleasure that they're now in a subspace where they can feel things. I've never experienced this place.
Yet.
So it's basically, like, punish them so much until they're in the subspace where emotions come out and you feel things. And that's where she's trying to get him to, because she's like, clearly you have something going on with panic attacks and this blah, blah, blah. So this time she uses a vibrator on his butt. He hates it, but he never asks her to stop. But when she does finish, he gets really mad and he storms off. And she says, but this is what you needed, even if it was so hard. And he's like, but that's not what I wanted. I just wanted to have sex with you. But then he, like, she goes to have a bath. And then he's like, oh, I did need that. And he just comes and apologizes. And I was like, what? Like, what changed? I don't understand. Like, this was the thing about this book. It was not a literary book. It was just like,
this happened.
We needed to move on. We needed to get back to sex. So he forgives her.
Yeah.
He washes her in the bath. So weird. And then she briefly remembers, oh, wait, I actually, like, had a goal for my life. And now I'm, like, getting distracted by all this sex I'm having. And then he, like, gives her oral. She forces him to stop because he's taking control. But then he keeps going anyways. And then she gets really mad at him because can't do that. This is a dominant, submissive relationship. We can only have one dominant. So she does, like... Physically, she wants him to keep going, but mentally, she's like, stop, and he doesn't stop. And so then she, as punishment, forces him to spank her.
Okay.
So he does that. He hates it. It's something about making him realize what it is like to be her when he won't obey and how hard it is.
Okay.
So now he knows that it's hard to be her.
Yeah.
He's so bad at being a sub. Chapter 12, Luca's going to come and help because she just can't get a hold on this relationship. So he's coming. And I was like, that's weird. Like, what is that? What does that look like? We're about to find out.
He's like, I'm a professional.
He is. He's like, talks. She's like, he's the most dominant dom I've ever met. And he trains all the other doms, so.
Okay.
Luca arrives, and he brought the other guy, the other sub that always listens, but okay. She doesn't like. But he, like, loves Scarlett.
Yeah.
If it was up to him, she would be his dominant all the time. Okay. So now Logan's super gel. Because he's like, he can't be here. Scarlett's mine.
Also, it's so weird that they came all the way to Montana. Like, they're like, this is a BDSM emergency.
Well, apparently Luca had business in town, but he just brought Brendan because he knew it would be useful for the
okay.
BDSM emergency.
Okay.
And so basically I was like, okay, they're all going to have sex together. That's what's about to happen. And we are halfway through the book now. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right, what has happened is sex every chapter. Once in a while, they remember they have lives outside of the sex. Woo!
Yeah.
So they make Brendan and Logan eat dinner naked. They feed them instead of them feeding themselves. I'm like, this is so weird. Brendan tries to, like, serve Scarlett, and Logan gets all angry and, like, you can't do that, blah, blah, blah. And then she's like, oh, I love him. Something about how he's going to fight for her, even though he's a submissive. And so she's like, oh my gosh, I love him. But she's like, I can't be with him until he fully submits to me. And or he will never be happy. And I was like, okay.
Okay.
Then.
You look so excited about this part.
She ties him up on his hands and knees. I don't understand that. Anyways, he's on his hands and knees. And she makes the other guy suck him off.
Mm.
Yep. I was like, how am I going to describe this? So I quoted exactly what happened. Bren swallowed the head of the cock, and Logan let out a low moan. Part in protest, and part in pleasure.
Wow.
And it's about, again, you feel pleasure the way I want you to feel pleasure, not the way you want to feel pleasure.
Okay.
And so he's, again, like, protesting the whole time. Don't do this. Let me touch you. Let me, why don't you do it? Blah, blah, blah. And she's like, no, he needs to do it. She does recognize at this moment that it's crazy that she's already in love with him, but she's like, I'm just going to go with it. This, I don't remember. Now she's just doing more anal stuff to him, I said.
Good note.
Yeah.
Good note.
Making him apparently move beyond what he is thinking to just feeling and giving him what he needs when he refuses it. He gets really happy because he surrendered. And then she lets him have sex with her.
Wow.
Oh.
They must be in love now.
Here's my, what's the thing we do? The worst quote?
Yeah.
So he gets out of bed naked and then she's like looking at his butt. And then he was like, oh, you're looking at my butt? And she's like, no, I am looking at my butt. Because this ass belongs to me.
But, like, it just sounds so silly when it's like... It sounds like she's looking at her own butt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my god, that's really good.
I mean, I guess that in your when you're in one of those relationships, it's like, yeah, it is your butt. But like for everyone else, it's like, wait, what? You're like trying to see your butt? Like, do you have a mirror? What are you doing?
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Okay, so now they're sleeping in the same bed because now they're having sex. But they don't have sex every night because she's in control of when they have sex, blah, blah, blah. Logan has some nightmares. He's, like, talking about, let me go, let me free, and freaking out. He's really ashamed. He's super ashamed of all these things that happen. Mm-hmm. He admits to himself that he's falling in love with her as well. because the more he lets her in, the more he wants to keep her. Mm-hmm. But he's super worried about her, like, leaving Montana, because that's the plan. But he can't go anywhere else because he's afraid of crowds.
What? Okay, wait. How long have they been together at this point?
Like, 2 weeks. Basically, you'll get, like, one scene that's, like, four chapters long, and then it'll be, like, a new chapter, and it'll be, like, 1 week later.
Yeah.
So you could probably figure the math. I think that the whole time the book is, like, 1 month.
Okay.
So we're about halfway through the book. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks in. And he takes her on a horse ride, and I only mentioned this. It was really irrelevant. Most of what happened was irrelevant, because she brings a dog in her backpack, and I was like,
what?
Why is there a dog in your backpack?
On the horse... Like, you're doing animal things. You don't need more.
But she brings the dog because she really likes it. And I was like, that's weird. Why did you do that?
Also, like, the dog can just walk beside you.
It's a small dog. Maybe she thought it would get tired.
Okay.
I thought it was really stupid. So I had to mention it. So now she's starting to think, maybe I should stay in Montana with Logan. And she forces him, as a dominant, to take her on a date. Because, like, they haven't really had much relationship.
Yeah.
They work together, and then they have sex. Mm-hmm. So now she's like, let's go on a real date. So he sets up this elaborate decor. It makes it look that I don't understand. It's like, he does all these lights and ornaments and stuff, and you walk in, and it was like, apparently they looked like they were in the city, and all these people were around them. And I was like, what did you... How? Like, were there dummies set up at other tables?
A bunch of mannequins. It's so creepy. He, like, draws faces on them.
But she apparently loves it. And she, because apparently she misses the city really bad, even though she has not talked about missing the city once in the whole book. I'm like, you can't say she misses it if she hasn't talked about missing it, but whatever. Then he gives her a collar for the dog. And he's like, it's your dog now. And now she's, like, mega in love. She's like, oh my gosh, he's amazing.
He's giving me his dog.
He admits that he's never had a serious girlfriend since he came home from the army. And she asks why, and he's like, well, because I need to be beaten, and most girls aren't into that. He admits that something happened, but he won't tell her what. And she's like, maybe if he submits more sexually, he'll tell me. I don't understand. I was like, this is something that I was like, is this real? Or, like, he should just go to therapy.
That's a hot take, honestly.
But she promises to stay with him and gives her his bracelet to wear as a sign of her ownership.
Wow.
Yeah. And then she decides she's going to stay in Montana. She actually likes it way better out here than she ever did in Las Vegas. She starts to consider Logan's home as her home.
It's only been a month or whatever. What about that foster child?
I know. Like, you promised to go back.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I'll just figure out a way to help kids in Montana instead.
I guess.
And then she goes on her first, like, call as a vet on her own. And it's this other submissive. And he's like, hey, baby, you want to control me?
For some reason, like, my first thought was, I was like, oh, her vet call's gonna go really badly. But then you just roll in with this other submissive and like, hey, baby.
The vet call went great. No other kind of drama. Just sex drama. And he didn't call her baby. He called her mistress. Mm. Should be clear. And he wants to play with her. And she's like, how did you know? And he was like, you just, when you know, you can just tell. What? You just know people are automatically dominant? She was your vet. What could she have done?
He knew. He knew.
He knew. She turns him down because
the way,
like,
she treats the dog or whatever.
She's like, sit dog! I was like, back to dominant. How does a submissive treat a dog?
You sit instead of the dog.
She obviously doesn't do anything with this man because she's in love with Logan. On the way home, she hits her dog with her car.
What? glad you read this book.
And she's like so upset because she's like, I hurt my dog.
That's fair. It's just a really weird plot point.
And the legs are broken, but good thing they're both bats.
Okay.
So Logan like does surgery on the dog and he like basically tells her, get your act together, because she's freaking out and she's not helping him. And he's like, if you don't do what I say, I'm going to whip you. Because she was like, I need to like shock her into being good. Mm-hmm. And the best way to shock a dominant is to threaten to dominate them. Yeah, so they successfully fix the dog. She cries, and then Logan almost falls to his knees because the crying is so beautiful. I don't know. I didn't understand, but I was like, he almost falls to his knees because she cried. And then Logan takes care of her and gives her what she needs. And she was like, oh, I can't believe that you could have a sub giving a dominant what they need, too. And I was like, that's a relationship, lady. Like, that's the thing I didn't understand. I was like, isn't it dom and sub in the bedroom, but then you live your lives?
Then you still have, like, a normal, supporting, loving relationship. Yeah.
And so she discovered that you could in chapter 18. They have a bath together, and this was really stupid. She siphons energy off of him. She was so exhausted, and she was like, I just leaned into his body and siphoned energy off of him to re-energize. And I was like, well, that doesn't happen. Have you ever just held Alex?
Yeah, and I just, and then he gets really tired and I go about my day.
I'm like, this isn't supernatural. This is just real people.
No, you just...
It's like dementors. She's a dementor. She sucks the energy from him.
Yeah.
So basically, Logan cared for the dog so well that she's like, how can I not love him? And so she tells him, but he says they can't be together because he's still like freaky about the... Mm-hmm.
About all his issues.
Which we still don't know what they are. Barely talk about them ever. And the fear of like her resenting Montana because she's a city girl. She gets pissed and quits the internship.
Why? Okay. Okay, go ahead.
She says to him, like, you don't submit, you don't talk about your trauma as a way to keep people away from you. And that's just you hurting yourself. Then Luca calls Logan and is like, you're an idiot. Scarlett can make her own choices. You don't make choices for her. If she wants to stay here, that's her choice. So he decides he needs to make things right. So in our final chapter, the end.
I really didn't think we were, actually. I thought there was more.
Because it was all sex, and you don't have a lot to say when it's just sex over and over. So she goes basically to get her stuff from his house. Like, mm-hmm. It's the last day. He's written a note that's like, come find me. I'm at the end of the farm. And I was like, why is he at the end of the farm? Why didn't he just wait there? Like, why did he do this? Guess what? Because it was for sex stuff.
Okay.
So she goes to find him, and he's naked and chained to the fence.
Get himself into that.
Well, he did it purposely to prove.
Yeah, but like, how do you chain yourself to the fence?
I guess he chained, like, he did it, and then he threw the key. So he could. And she's like super mad. She's like, if I hadn't come, you would have died. Like, you would have died of starvation or dehydration, or coyotes would have came and killed you. We're in the wilderness, buddy. And he was like, I trust you so fully. I knew you'd come.
What? That's not. That's the weirdest way to show your ultimate submission.
Yeah. So then he's like, go into my backpack. And then she goes and there's like this huge whip. Apparently it's beautiful. And he's like, you need to whip me. And I'll tell you what happened in the army.
Oh, good.
So every whip, he gives her a little bit more of the details.
That sounds like the least sexy thing.
It's like, whip. It was Bosnia. Whip. I was on patrol. Whip. The patrolman's name was Deidre. I can't remember the guy's name. It was a weird name. Whip. There were these two kids. Whip! They asked us for help. And I really, this story literally makes no sense. So let's skip the rest of the whipping. Just know that every few words, there was another one.
Yeah.
These two boys are like, help us. And apparently their older brother gave them an explosive. And then they used it. And then they were all trapped. And I was like, what? What was their help? What were they supposed to help them with? Where were they? It seemed like they were on the street and now the building's exploded. It was so confusing. I was like, this story doesn't make sense, Logan.
Yeah. If only someone wasn't whipping him, we maybe could do a better job storytelling.
Like four full sentences, maybe?
Yeah.
And so they were, the two brothers died immediately, and so he watched them die. Mm-hmm. And then him and his patrol guy, the other guy he was with, got trapped under the rubble of the building, and the patrol mate died from his injuries after 3 days of being trapped under there.
Wow.
And then he was trapped there longer, and he just, like, was trapped there with the guy for, like, days and days with a dead body.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so that's why he's, like, that's why I'm so claustrophobic, because I, like, was literally trapped under and I couldn't do anything about it, and I, like, couldn't save my buddy, blah, blah, blah. So he's admitted it, and they have sex while he's tied up to the fence. He finally submits to her fully, so I guess they live happily ever after.
Oh, that's the end. There's no, she moved to Montana, and it's...
Nope. They just have sex, and then he's, like, the ending is Mariah's opening the page.
Mariah narrates what Mariah does.
Then he spoke the words, the ultimate surrender. I'm yours. They basically just decide to be together.
Okay, great.
And that's it.
Wow.
They don't talk. And he does promise that he's going to help her open the animal hospital in Montana. And she's like, you would do that for me?
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
And that is Linger by Lauren Jameson.
Yeah, we don't have closing thoughts for the book.
For the books.
We can't rank anybody. Yeah, I don't know. Do you have any, final thoughts on either of them?
I mean, so with the first book, All We Ever Wanted, Nina and Tom and their family drama, I actually liked that book.
Yeah.
Like, it was a thinker. And I like to think. And I was like, what would you do? And I'm...
Yeah, it's one you wouldn't necessarily grab right away, but it turned out to be interesting.
Yeah. So, if you want to read about learning and about, you know, those kind of sexual issues, interesting that they were both, had a sexual undertone. Well, one had a sexual undertone.
One
had a sexual tone.
Yeah, and a plot undertone.
But, what is it called? Sexual assault and all that stuff. Being in a parent's shoes and what would you do? It was just really interesting. Like, what would you do? This is such a hard, is there any right answer? Mm-hmm. And then the other book, I don't know. I'm not really into
that type of dynamic.
Not really. Not super much. I'm like, it's fine if you have sex once in a while, but what are you doing otherwise?
I've had a great time. Yeah, I'm just having, a blast. So, I will say, when we release these and when this comes out, if you like Mariah's misadventures...
We'll keep doing them.
Yeah.
I mean, I guarantee
it'll happen again.
Oh, man. The struggle it is to find a book that's romance. Much harder than you'd think.
I know.
Without just picking the stereotypical ones.
I know. It's just... And, I feel that, too, because I was in... Value Village, and I was like, oh, I'll grab some romances, and there's a bazillion romances. It's just finding ones that I want to read,
Yes, and it's hard. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
we'll keep, and I end up reading them because I go, it took me 20 minutes to get so far in. I'm like, now I'm invested.
I need to know.
The book's almost over. So I'm just gonna keep going. So if you like it, we'll keep doing more.
Yeah, thanks for listening. That's all. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.